48 months, everywhere in the world, nations, minority organizations try to save their habits, culture, language, religion. Just in Bosnia and Herzegovina, those rights are denied to Croatians, or some elements trying to deny those rights. We live in 21st century, like you said. How is it possible? What has to be done?
Well, here's, Ivica, I think, look, here you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, there is now, these are accepted principles and norms in international law that you have to, for any self-respecting democracy, you have to give full political, legal, and cultural rights to ethnic minorities. This is not happening in Bosnia. And it's only not happening to one group, and that is the Croatians. And the question that has to be asked is why? Why is now suddenly the West and the United Nations and Brussels and Bodie Ashdown and Sarajevo, why are they suddenly turning a blind eye to the systematic ethnic and cultural cleansing being taken place against Croatians? And I think it's about time that Croatians began to realize and stand up and speak out against what is happening to them, not just even in Bosnia, but even what's going on in Croatia and throughout the larger Eastern Europe, which is this. Croatians are being treated like second and third class citizens of Europe. And there is a clear double standard. You see it in every policy regarding the former Yugoslavia, and especially regarding Croatia. For example, if Carla Del Ponte is kicked off the tribunal for Rwanda because she is judged by everybody at the UN Security Council to not be an effective and judicious enough prosecutor for the Rwandans, but somehow now she's good enough for the Croatians or for the Bosnian Muslims or for the Serbs. In other words, if she's not good enough for the people of Rwanda, why suddenly is she good enough for Croatians, Bosniaks, and Serbs? And, you know, that's one. The second point that I'd like to make is why suddenly, you know, you see this whenever there is a indictment based on command responsibility issued, let's say, against an American or a Western general. Take the example 2 years ago of Tommy Franks when the Belgian court issued a flimsy indictment based on command responsibility for alleged war crimes committed, isolated war crimes committed by American soldiers in Iraq. There was a huge outrage, not just here in the State Department, not just among liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans in the United States, but even throughout capitals in Western Europe. Like, hey, whoa, whoa, you can't do this against an American general, or against a French general, or against a British general. For example, when Del Ponte was thinking of issuing some indictments against either Bill Clinton, or against Tony Blair, or against Wesley Clark regarding the bombing of Kosovo and the bombing of Yugoslavia in 1999, the NATO bombing, suddenly there was a huge outrage. How dare she indict a Western general on command responsibility? But that's completely unacceptable for the West, but it's certainly acceptable for General Gotovina and for other Croatian generals. This is what I call Slavophobia. This is a racism against the Slavs in general and against the Croatians in particular. And you see it step after step after step. For example, why was it that in 1918 it's fine to throw the Croatians into literally an imperial state, a Serb-run multinational empire, which denied the Croatians their democratic rights to self-government and self-determination? That somehow is okay. But it wasn't okay, for example, to keep Ireland under the yoke of London and under Britain. No, that they had to give self-determination to the Irish. Or, for example, later on, for countries such as Israel or India or other fashionable minorities, then it's acceptable to give them national self-determination and democratic self-government and have them have the right to their own independence and their own homeland. But whenever the Croatians ask for it, it's no, 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 you're rocking the boat. That's racism. That's a clear double standard. And I think Croatians, because of their national character, because they tend to be stoic, they tend to endure a lot of suffering throughout their history, that they just figure, look, that's just life. We are the victims of great powers. They kick us around. and we have to somehow find a way to survive. Well, you know, I think that's the wrong attitude to have. What you have to do is you have to stand up and assert your rights and seize your destiny and say, no, we are no better or no worse than anybody else on this planet. And what we're asking for are the same rights that every other small people and small culture around the world has asked for, namely the right to govern themselves, to live in dignity, to have their own culture, their own religion, their own government, and their own society. They're not asking for the world. They're asking for what other groups, whether it be the Irish, whether it be the Palestinians, whether it be the Jews, whether it be the Poles, whether it be the Lithuanians or the Ukrainians, or, I mean, the Indians, I can run down a whole list. They are asking what is natural. And yet somehow, in the eyes of the international community, no, suddenly this is dangerous. This is ethnic extremism. This is destabilizing. This is racism. And just as African Americans in the United States had to stand up and demand for their rights, just as the Indians in India had to stand up and demand for their rights, just as the Israelis in Israel had to stand up and demand for their rights, it's about time that Croatians did as well. And that's why I think it is very important for the diaspora to start coming out with the argument and speak truth to power and say, no, this is racism. What is going on in Bosnia is racist. And the fact that the West is turning its blind eye is racist. And the fact that General Gotovina is indicted on command responsibility, but General Tommy Franks isn't, that's racist. And I think if Croatians start making that argument, they will have success like other groups have had success throughout the 20th century.
But Croatians asking for those rights many years, but they not heard. You know, what's the problem with Western world?
Well, I think even so, look, you ask a very good question. I think, look, first of all, I do think that overall, clearly, since 1991, when Croatia finally stood up and ended 45 years of communist tyranny and 70 years of Serbian imperialism and domination, the problem with Croatians generally, but especially the political and media class, has been its inability to articulate Croatian grievances and Croatian national interests. In other words, to tell their story and to defend their cause to the Western world. And this has been a serious weakness. And that's why it is very important now for the Croatians in Bosnia to start to make more of a public relations campaign and to start doing things like calling in human rights groups to look at what's going on in Bosnia, to start petitioning the Bosnian government, not just in Sarajevo, but to go to places like Washington, to go to places like Brussels, to go to places like at the United Nations. But I think, look, even so, the problem with the Bosnian Croatians is facts are facts. They are small and they are getting smaller. They have a homeland which is right neighboring and next to them. So there's an easy way out. There's a safety valve. If things get too bad, let's say in whatever, in Western Herzegovina or, you know, whatever, in Central Bosnia, then they can just leave and go someplace in Croatia. Until Croatians in Croatia itself begin to change their policies towards Croatians in Bosnia, I don't think the situation can get resolved, because ultimately, what does this say about Croatian society? And what does it say about Croatia, the Croatian government itself, if hardly anybody in Croatia, in the Croatian press or in the diplomatic corps, is speaking out against what is happening to their fellow ethnic Croats in Bosnia? And if Zagreb won't stand up, and if the press in Croatia won't stand up, well, then literally the Bosnian Croats are left all alone. And that has been their problem. They have been isolated now for nearly 10 years. And they are surrounded by two other peoples who are much bigger, much more numerous, especially the Bosnian Muslims who are reproducing themselves. And the Muslims look obviously upon Bosnia as their native or matrix state. And they're slowly pushing the Croatians out. Now, it's up now to Croatians themselves to realize that there are not first-class and second-class Croatians. I hear this often when I travel in Croatia. Well, I'm a full, they go to me, I'm a full-blooded Croatian. You know, I'm from whatever, Zagreb or Zagorje or Slavonia or Dalmatia. You know, not like the Croatians in Bosnia or in Herzegovina. And I'm like, excuse me? A Croatian is a Croatian is a Croatian. In fact, if these people knew anything about Croatian history, they would know that Herzegovina especially is the cradle of Croatian civilization. That Mostar is one of the great Croatian cities. That is from that region that King Tomislav, the great medieval king of Croatia, came from. That the Herzegovci, for example, speak some of the purest Croatian you'll ever find. Or, you know, the history in terms of the religious heritage, the cultural heritage. So much of Croatia's identity, language, history, and culture is tied to the Croatian community in Bosnia. To me, this is a cultural travesty, never mind just a political travesty, that literally Croatians are turning their backs on their fellow people in Bosnia. This to me is an outrage. And that's why it is time, especially for the diaspora, to start demanding that the government in Zagreb and that the media class in Croatia begin to shed a spotlight on what is happening in Bosnia, and especially to the persecution of Croatians. And ultimately, I think, look, Ivica, people often ask me, what is it that Croatia needs to do? The first thing, what is it that it needs to do to reform itself, to become a full partner in Europe and in the West? And I always tell them, it's not tax cuts, it's not free trade, it's not joining Europe, it's not even joining NATO, it's none of these things. The most important thing that Croatia needs to do, the first thing, is it needs to reclaim its pride and dignity as a nation. It needs to understand and confront its past. And it needs to understand something. The communist project for 45 years and the project of the Balkans for the last 70 years from Belgrade was to literally strip Croatians of their cultural identity, their cultural heritage, and their national sense of themselves as a great and proud people. To strip away their historical memory. And for the most part, they have succeeded. That is the sad fact of the matter. Most Croatians don't know their history. Most Croatians don't know even what happened to Croatia under Yugoslavia, how it was brutalized. They don't know, for example, that the first Yugoslavia was completely undemocratic. They have no idea that, in fact, this was completely imposed upon Croatia unilaterally. They have no idea of the persecutions that Croatians suffered between World War I and World War II. They have no idea about the injustices committed against them by the partisans. They have no idea about the massacres at Bleiburg, the death camps, the attempt to cleanse the Croatian language, the attempt to destroy the Croatian Catholic Church. This was done systematically and deliberately. And yet, instead of facing up to this, Croatians are looking to almost bury it and forget about it. And somehow thinking, well, if we join the EU, or, you know, if suddenly Europe gives us a couple $100 million, this will solve all our problems. It won't. The fundamental problem is with the Croatian soul. It is with the Croatian psyche. Croatia has been one of the most victimized nations of the 20th century. Literally, I always go back to the Israel of Southeastern Europe because I believe in its own way they have been victimized the way the Jews have been in the 20th century. And the founding of Israel, for example, what did they do? Did they concentrate on building up a free market economy or on joining trade institutions? No. They went back and they reclaimed their Jewish heritage, their Jewish pride, their Jewish language, their Jewish history. They reclaimed their dignity as a people. And only when you have your dignity as a people can you then start acting like a normal nation, where you say, naturally, yes, we have a lot to offer to the world. Yes, we can be partners with the United States. Yes, we will stand up for our legal, political, and cultural rights. We will not bend to Brussels. We will not turn our back on fellow Croatians. We will not stand there and allow the ICTY to criminalize our homeland war, to deny our legitimacy as a nation and as a people. No self-respecting people would endure what the Croatian people have had to endure since 1991. No one. I mean, this is, you see it around the world. To me, I always say, the Gotovina indictment will finally have Croatians on the streets. That will be the end. Or I say something like, or I say, if it's not that, then how about the way that the Italians now have been just running roughshod over Croatian fishing rights on the Dalmatian coast? Or the way the Slovenians keep violating the border? Or about the fact that the Bosnian Croatians now are slowly being ethnically cleansed? I run down example after example after example after example, and I say, finally, the Croatian people will say, enough is enough. We are not going to become the Puerto Rico of Eastern Europe for people to come there on our coast, enjoy themselves, buy up Croatia's land, and as most Croatians, remain poor. Yet that is exactly what is happening. And that, to me, is a great crime. And that's why, Ivica, I've said this before and I'll say it again, it is important for community leaders, for cultural leaders such as you, to educate the Croatian public, because literally they have been brainwashed under Tito's propaganda for 5 decades. And this continues even to this day, because most people in positions of power were all members of the Communist Party or can have connections or ties or influenced by the Communist Party. So this propaganda, this brainwashing, has literally affected the key segments of Croatian society in politics, economics, the media, and culture. So what do the young people have except to listen to these neo-communists tell them about how, I don't know, all Croatians are fascists, or how Tudjman was a monster, or how we're all equally guilty in the wars of the 1990s? One lie after another. And it's about time that people begin to speak truth to power. And that's what Croatians need to do.